Was there a particular moment where you decided, I want to try and address these issues myself? Was there some sort of thing that, like, just like,
It
that's
kind
it?
of naturally evolved. I had, I worked to help save a National Historic Landmark in West Oakland called Liberty Hall, which has been around for over 100 years. And I worked with First Friday with the city to try to keep it an amazing event. And I was Occupy Oakland activist, so I kind of seen a lot of internal conflicts with that and, mismanagement. And like I said, it just, you can sit and protest, but and yell and scream and complain, but eventually you would need to engage so you can actually do something about it. So I made a decision to just like, let me do something about it, and and really be honest about it, like really tell the truth and show people that what proper leadership from a younger standpoint could look like. I was in the military. I have a certain viewpoints that that resonate with leadership, and I think people see that, and I think the city of Oakland will vote for that.
And so, in the midst of sort of thinking about all those issues, that Oakland is in the period of time of a lot of dynamic change across the board, sort of economically, demographically. And what do you think of all the changes that are
I
happening
think
in
it's
Oakland?
excellent. I think that, but we have to have a city rooted in our culture. We have to know where we came from so that when people come to Oakland, with their influence, we don't get overshadowed by their ideas, and they can integrate into our culture, and it could be a mutual benefit for everybody. It shouldn't be new things coming in, old things moving out. It should be a collaboration between new and old, and making Oakland as genuine and stand out as a unique city that it is. I'm welcome to new ideas and new people and come to the city, but also want to make sure that our natural culture and the artists that we cultivate get their shine, and the businesses and the homegrown businesses that we create get their shine, along with all this new economic growth and new citizens.
So when you talk about your vision of sort of like new residents coming to Oakland and people who have been there for a while, can you talk to me a little bit about your vision and plan for the future of making those two sort of sections come together and how you envision?
Well, part of my main key points, and they ask us all the time, what are your main 3 points? And mine are really not in a particular order, but they all go coincide. And one of them is arts and culture. And when I say that, a lot of people say, oh, he just wants to party all the time. That might just be the automatic thought process. But what I will say is, in order for people to get along, they have to eat together, they have to dance together, they have to, have some point of relationship with the art. Art bridges a lot of different cultural gaps. So I would like to have a more, we have a vibrant artist culture, but I would like to have it be more openly done with the city so people could come in and share their art, and artists that are homegrown can meet artists that are coming in and have a natural fusion and interaction. I think that's a great way to get people to feel comfortable with the city in itself, so there's no separation. We have to identify the people on what they call the flatlands in Oakland is like two parts, the hills and the flatlands, and then it's north. But people that are more impoverished areas, we have to give them a sense of identity and value with Oakland, along with people that are coming in with new resources and new opportunities.
So can you give me an example of what kind of arts and culture?
Well, every month, this Friday coming up is First Friday. Every month we have a Art Murmur, which is an organization that does the artists galleries that open up all together. And then we have First Friday, which is kind of like the street version of that festival. I would like to see that grow and expand and actually cater to local artists and let it be exactly what it was before it shrunk a little bit under the city supervision. I want to see people interact. I talked to police officers at First Friday, and they will say, because of the nature of their job and the fact that they're always on a call, that they never have a chance to interact with the public unless it's First Friday. So I mean, just on a lot of different levels of community policing and people getting over the fear of the police and realizing that we can all work together. Art is a great way to bridge those gaps. It gives officers the time to actually interact with the public. It gives the public to interact with each other. It gives different people with different points of view to have a common bond through arts and culture, music and entertainment. I mean, these are the things that we need to create bonds so we can actually grow together. So, yes.
Oh, and so I was going to say, you were talking about, using First Fridays in Art Murmur as a way to bring police and community members together. And I was just going to ask, you know, I think that that's pretty clearly the hot button issue for this campaign is the Oakland Police Department and strained relations. So how do you see the Oakland Police Department, and what would you change, or what would you keep the same, or what's your plan to work with them when you take office?
Well, we have to be clear about the situation first. The Oakland Police Department is in federal receivership due to negligence and criminal behavior. That's not something we should be proud of. That's a negative thing for those that don't know. Part of my job as mayor would be to get them out of federal receivership. And I believe one of the first things we need to do is have a chief of police that identifies and works clearly with the motive of community policing. And secondly, what we need to do is, I believe, a truth and reconciliation. I need the community of Oakland to know that the mayor is listening to them. And I need to hear the grievances and gripes, and I need to really be in the community, and I need the people to express everything that have been wronged by the police. It needs to be documented, it needs to be talked about, and it needs to be identified. And we need to actually get officers to realize that the age of internal corruption will be over, and we're going to have a new police force that actually serves the public. And I will, as mayor, make sure that the police are served properly too. It's a dual street. I'm going to listen to the police officers, the young officers, the rank and file, and I'm going to implement their ideas, and I'm going to listen to the community, and I'm going to implement their ideas, and we're going to work, and I'm going to find a way as mayor to make sure that both sides feel very comfortable living and working in the city of Oakland.
So can you give me some examples of how you plan to enact some of those changes in terms of dialogue? And
well, when I say truth and reconciliation, what I mean is community councils, which we should have. We also have a format for community policing, and we had a bill passed in 2004 called Measure Y that was supposed to have 60 police officers or so dedicated to community policing. We failed as a government to do that. Now we're working on passing a new measure called Measure Z, which is Measure Y but renewed, right? With, you know, a couple more stipulations that I like. So as mayor, the leadership is not the money that's the issue, it's the leadership. So what I would use is the money that we've allocated, if Measure Z passes, to actually enact the neighborhood community policing councils. Those neighborhood community policing councils will be the first of truth and reconciliation meetings with the community, publicized by the mayor and this, the city council, to actually reach out to the community so we can hear your gripes, document your gripes, and actually take action on those if necessary, meaning just make sure that your voice is heard. Secondly, we would do the same thing with the police internally and ask them, what do you need as a police force to move forward with the community policing? What do you need to feel comfortable as a police officer to live in Oakland, and so on and so forth? And when we take those both information, and we will create a plan with the chief of police that I most likely will hire or work with, depends on, you know, I'm not going to say I'm completely going to fire the current police chief, but I would need a police chief that I know that I could work with. So with those parameters of a police chief that I could work with, we will take the information from both the truth and reconciliation and the police and come up with a plan that will work for the city of Oakland, because it's not a budget problem. If Measure Z passes, we have the budget. It's a leadership problem, and I will make it a priority to make sure that the community feels safe with the police, the police feel that they can do their job properly.
And on your campaign website, you say that you feel that prosperity is linked with safety, and the two that cannot be addressed separately. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how you see Oakland prosperity playing into?
The reason why we as a campaign, actually, I don't do anything by myself. I want people to know that I was working collective, but is prosperity is something that we can understand. When we say public safety, it can mean anything. It can mean Homeland Security. It can mean NDAA. It can mean anything. Public safety has become very ambiguous in and what it means. It's a very political term. I want to cut through the political red tape, and I want to be clear with people. I want prosperity safety. That means I want you to be safe. I want you not only to be safe, but I want you to move forward in life. Everybody wants to go from the little car to the sports car to the, you know, you or the smaller house to the big house. Whatever you deem is prosperous, moving forward in your life. I want you to be in Oakland. I want you to be able to live in Oakland and feel not only am I safe, but I can have nice things and not have them stolen. Violent crime is down. So a lot of what we're talking about in Oakland now is a lot of robbery. That's because of people not having means or even drug addiction. We have to identify that. That's not prosperous. If you're a drug addict, you're not prosperous. That's not really a prosperous lifestyle. So we want to identify anything that doesn't allow prosperity for every citizen in Oakland, and we want people to be safe at the same time. When people come out of jail, we want to have programs for them, and we want to let them know that you have programs for you so you can get employed, and the city should have outlets for that. I will use Measure Z money and other city resources to make sure that we have jobs for people to come out of jail. So they can be prosperous in the city of Oakland. I don't want people to feel that they have to move out of Oakland to live a better life. I feel like you should come to Oakland and live a better life, and that no matter what standard or what level you come in, you could come in with nothing. And I would like somebody to say, know what, I came to Oakland, I didn't have much, but with hard work and you know, doing what I was told by mentors and advisors, I was able to achieve this. And I want that to be the story of the city of Oakland, not a story where I couldn't afford to live here because I, even though my family lived here for three generations, I can't afford to live here because of higher rent prices that I can afford.
So what in your past experiences is qualifies you to take on these issues?
Well, I spent my 20s in the military traveling half the world. I went on two Mediterranean deployments, and I was in the executive department of the executive branch of the military industrial complex. The Navy is the largest logistical organization on the planet Earth. And as a young sailor, I was in the executive department, so I got to I was a printer, so I actually got all the information. I aggregated it out to everybody on the ship, which is part of my expertise in communication direction. Also, I've ran my own business for years, media and promotion, and you know, I've done my community homework. I understand what the mayor's job is. It's a communication director, but it's also a chief executive. And that chief executive position doesn't come with unilateral authority. It comes with a team of advisors and people that you respect. And that's what I do. I surround myself with people that I consider mentors and experts in their field, and I respect their advice, and I will be making the final decisions, but I won't be making no decision by myself. That's what city council's for. That's what the city administrator's for. The mayor is a team player job. Now, what you want is somebody that when it's time to make a decision, when it all falls and no one knows what to do, can make a decision. And time again, I've proven that with my decisions I made at Occupy Oakland. Once I was not arrested and I got to speak on behalf of people due to the fact that I was able to be stable and strong and clear with my words. The leadership I showed with saving a National Historic Landmark, with Liberty Hall, helping organizing that, being a communication director for that, getting the word out, getting the media, and helping raising $375,000 to save it from Citibank foreclosure, and the organizational skills that I try to help the city with First Friday, which didn't work, but I believe will work with proper leadership.
And you mentioned your involvement with Occupy Oakland. You were a spokesman for Occupy?
I wouldn't say. See, the news, the media outlets called me a spokesman. At the time, there is no spokesman for Occupy. Let's just be clear. It's a mass, non-hierarchical social movement, and I respect that tremendously. What I was what we agreed upon in the media collective or tent was a liaisons, media liaisons. So the official title would be a media liaison for Occupy Oakland Media Committee. And I spoke on the news heavily beyond Occupy, yes.
And so then can you talk a little bit about, you know, Occupy Oakland was a huge movement in the city and had a lot of power and attention. And can you talk a little bit about how you would, if you would, bring the power or momentum or the ideals of your of your Occupy sort of?
Well, I mean, it's the power of the people. It's never gone anywhere. Occupy was not a to me, it was like people always have power to maneuver and change things if they decide to collectively work together. So that's always there. It's never gone anywhere. Now, what do we call it or how do we function? Now, that was unique. Occupy, the way it was functioning and how it evolved, that was a very unique experience. But the power has always been with the people. So I'm just changing tactics and getting the word out to represent people. I want people to feel that on one level you can come from Oakland and be a mayor of Oakland, and on any level that you can start from the bottom and get to a level of a success, no matter what privilege you come from or lack of privilege. And that's what I want Occupy was about, economic inequality and social injustice. And I believe that as a candidate, I will represent that completely. Occupy is a part of my history, but it isn't my history. It's something I was a part of, and I'm very proud of my experience. But I really feel like, just like time goes on, we transition, and I've transitioned myself into a very very good representative for the city of Oakland as mayor.
And then a part of your campaign, seems like a fairly major part of your campaign, is Bitcoin and including the use of Bitcoin. I also just don't know very much about Bitcoin in general, but will you talk to me a little bit about Bitcoin and
why? Okay, when I get this question, I like the question. I like because it's not about Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. It's about alternative currencies. Bitcoin is an alternative currency, crypto-based currency that is based upon a ledger that is on the web, that is open for anybody, which creates the lack of a third-party system. The banking system now we have is a third-party system that verifies that the money is there so we can exchange it amongst ourselves. It's a trust factor, right? With the internet in place, that replaces that third-party system of a Federal Reserve system with the internet and a ledger, which then now is just peer-to-peer, right? That's kind of essentially how Bitcoin works. It can't be complicated. But the simple version of it is alternative currencies. I want people to understand that we're in America. We say it's a free country. We need to be free with our commerce, too. And we need to realize we're global citizens. Having one option of use of money or the most popular option isn't always the best. And sometimes we need to augment our currency with other currencies so that we can live a more prosperous life and understand money completely. If I only have one choice, then I only have one form of understanding. But if I have several choices and I understand how resources work and how commerce works, and I become more of a global citizen. And what I would like to see all of us become a global citizen in the concept of we understand how the world works around us, and we're not just consumers, but we're actually producers, and we also know how to use different alternatives, especially when it comes to our money. So Oakland currency would be another one. That's something that the city of Oakland has passed that should be implemented shortly. And people educate themselves on economy and resources is something that I'm very interested in. So Bitcoin is kind of like, it opens up the door for that conversation. And that's why I continue to promote Bitcoin, because it opens up the door for alternative resources, alternative currencies.
So can you talk to me a little bit about how you would go about instituting alternative currencies, whether it's Bitcoin?
Well, it might not happen on a city government level. It's not, you know, and if it already is in existence, if there's already a program working towards that, I would advocate for it. But I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to get people, as mayor, I wouldn't spend a lot of time trying to get people to use Bitcoin. What I would do is try to get them jobs and educate them on resources and economy and what the city has to offer and how to be prosperous on their own. Like I said, Bitcoin is can actually, when people talk about it, it's kind of like going down a rabbit hole. I don't choose to go down the Bitcoin rabbit hole of what it's going to look like in the future. My thing is, I want people to understand that if there's a global currency, you should be aware of it. If there's a global economy that we need to be aware of, and we can't be pigeonholed mentally by any one currency, whether it's ours or anyone else's. That's all.
And then in terms also of commerce and economy. You've promised if you're elected that you'll donate the entirety of your salary to technical staff of the council.
Well, if I can, I would. Like I said, this is my platform is idea based, and I want to implement everything in the platform. I just have to make sure I can. But I'm not in it for money. I'm not rich, and I don't plan on being rich, but I also don't want people to think that I need a job, like I'm doing this to get paid. I'm not. I'm doing this because I actually care about people, and I want to see people served properly. So I need Oakland to realize that there's been a lack of leadership, and there's a strong mayor platform, and we need to employ or vote for a leader that's going to actually take risk and do things on behalf of the people. And I'm here to serve. So it's just a gesture of saying I'm here to serve.
And talking about past leadership, can you talk a little about how you feel about the mayoral career of Jean Kwan and what do you think of how she's been doing? What do you think she got right? What do you think she got wrong?
When I first started protesting with Occupy or being part of that movement, it was really easy to like bash Jean Kwan, just because she was, the mayor at the time, and decision making wasn't really, for the people or it was always past the buck. And as I got in politics, I was like, okay, and I started saying that the internal city problems and how everybody uses things to uses crisis to make people look bad. And I almost had sympathy. But now, as a candidate, every time I'm at a forum, I see the same pass the buck, it's not my fault attitude. And that's not leadership. You got to take responsibility for your position and what you're supposed to be doing. And just because the machine could run almost by itself without you doesn't mean that you didn't have a responsibility in running the machine. What I mean by that is we've had several city administrators. We have city administrators. One of the most important jobs in the city is the city admin, looking for another job openly, publicly. Looking for another job. That's highly disrespectful, and it actually hurts the morale of the people underneath you, right? These are things that I would look for, and these are reasons for termination that I didn't see happen with Mayor Kwan. Also, just not following through. Not really, communication-wise is part of the job of a mayor is to be able to communicate to the public. And like I said, as a person, I think she's fine. I mean, I've talked to her. She's not a bad person at all. I think she means well. I just think that some of the main qualifications of running for mayor, she doesn't have up to par for me. I would like a mayor that can speak to me and speak properly to me and actually communicate information to me from a leadership standpoint. And I haven't seen that with Kwan. Now, I'm pretty sure has strong skill sets in various different departments, but in the leadership category, I don't see it. I see a lot of reactionary leadership, and in the spokesman category, I just don't see it. And as well as delivering speeches and delivering words to public, these are the two main things that you need. You need to be able to hire a chief police that is strong enough to handle the police department of Oakland. You need to maintain a city administrator. Now, understand the job is not easy. I'm not saying by any means that I wouldn't have problems if I was mayor. That's why it's not really my place to say criticize. I'm just saying from the outside looking in, these things I shouldn't even know. If you were doing your job right, some of these criticisms, they shouldn't even be coming out of anyone's mouth. Because backstage is backstage, and what's public is public. And if you know how to speak to the public properly, you should know how to communicate. And that's part of the job of the mayor, is to communicate so you can handle the backstage if it's a mess. And she's not been able to do that, in my opinion.